Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski from the Battlefield District in this morning. We're going to look back and look ahead with Spotsylvania County. Chris, great to have you here. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. And it's great to see you again.
Thank you for having me. And Merry Christmas to you and everybody listening.
The boy, when you think of big stories in the year and everything, COVID has just overtaken, obviously, everything. But boy, without COVID, one of the biggest stories in years is Spotsylvania County landing the VA hospital. That is a huge story, and over the years, it's just going to continue to play out.
Well, most definitely. It's one of those things that if you were to have told us, say, 10, 15 years ago, that Spotsy would even be in the running for something such as this, you know, nobody would believe you, or it'd be a long shot deal, sort of like when, you know, Amazon HQ2 was coming in, and Should we even apply for that? Well, that was us 10 years ago, and there's no chance we could get that. But the VA hospital, we were able to land it, and we were able to land it mainly because of the board's commitment to getting it here. And one of the things that the board did commit to is five road improvements around the VA hospital that total a little bit over $80 million. That even if the hospital weren't to come, and by the way, it's coming right behind the Royal Farms off of Hood Drive at Route 1 there, so right up against 95. It's a great location, but that area needs road improvements regardless of what comes in there. Mm-hmm. So, and it also needs to really be revitalized down that corridor. So I think that this is a great way to jumpstart that and to really kick it off, and I hope that the board, you know, we'll follow through on the improvements that they said that they would do. One of the ways that we have started to do it is obviously it comes down to funding. And if you have an $80 million bill, you know, that's a pretty large one that we're not expecting.
Yeah.
So how do you pay for it? Well, that's always a good question. And it's always interesting because at budget time, you really see what people's priorities are and what they really want to do. And, you know, we do have some people that scurry away and like to spend money and then like other people to figure out a way to pay for it. And so one of the ideas, and the county has done this before in Cosner's Corner, for example, when that commercial development was coming in, we had estimated what the revenue would be generated for that. And so the board decided at that time to set aside a 10% of the overall tax revenue that would be generated to pay for road improvements. It's just a set aside. It's not a new tax. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything like that. What it does is just takes that new revenue above a baseline and puts it towards a specific project. And so I decided to put that forward to the board, see if we could go ahead and take as much money as we could and dedicate that to these road projects so that you have a revenue stream coming in. So basically, as the VA hospital comes in and the improvements to that area come in, the new real estate tax in that area will then go to pay the bonds that we're going to take out to make the road improvements. So you're not having to scurry around at budget time and wonder where the money's coming from.
Yeah. But like you said, this project and in that area, that area for years has needed help, and that the Royal Farms has sort of got things going, mm-hmm. and that whole corner is now changing. And you take a look at what this is all going to mean. It's gonna change the face of Spotsylvania. I hear from so many people who get off at that exit and who think that's Spotsylvania County or that's this area.
Right. Well, and so if you get off and go to the north, you have the rundown look that we have there. Not everything. There are some nice businesses, and there is a Chick-fil-A that is coming in on the corner of Market Street there. Mm-hmm. And you do have some nice businesses down that way that, you know, take pride in what they have and they try to keep it up, but just not enough. And so we need to see what we can do to help. But then if you go south on Route 1, you have the mess of all the traffic. So I don't think that it is a good look for our county that, you know, the interchange is named Spotsylvania. You get off at Spotsylvania, and it's a mess, you know, one way or the other. So I think that this definitely will help bring that section of the of Route 1, you know, up to par. And the other nice thing is there will be a parallel road in between Germana at Germana Boulevard that will take you down to the old Capital One buildings.
Oh, okay.
So if you're coming down 17, no longer will you have to go all the way down to the bottom to Route 1 to go north. You could parallel it and get out on Market Street or take Spotsylvania Avenue up to Mine Road and even take Falcon Drive up to Lafayette. So it gives us other ways to go, so not everybody is trying to get to the same destination or to different destinations the same way. And that's what we have really been lacking in the county.
And I know you've been frustrated at this whole this for years of wanting just a couple of these road improvements. I mean, there are no road improvements that aren't costly, but right. but some road improvements just make sense, and those do.
And this was one of the ones that when we were doing the IJR, Interstate Justification Report for the interchange there at 126, we had an outside firm that had come in and done a study, and that was one of the road improvements that they said would definitely help the traffic on Route 1. I mean, it's common sense, too, but it's also nice to get some backup, because I've been talking about this since about 2005.
Yeah.
And, you know, finally, we're getting around to doing it. And, of course, the cost goes up, but, you know, if you don't do it, what is the cost? And so I think that our residents especially deserve some traffic relief. And even if we did not approve one more residence, if not one more thing was built, there are so many projects that need to be done regardless.
Speaking of projects being built, the board has approved a lot of projects mm-hmm. this year. Over the last couple of years, we're starting to see some of them being built now.
Right.
And a lot of apartments.
Right. Well, and I voted against almost a good majority of those. I think I voted against more residential units than any member of the board, save the brand new two that we have on there, just because they haven't been there long enough. But the problem that we have is a lot of these that were sold to the board over the past 10 years or so were sold as, number one, 20-year projects, that it'll take 20 years to get there. Well, we're halfway there now.
Yeah.
And the other thing that they said is that there would be a mix of commercial and residential. And, of course, nobody could see what COVID was going to do. Nobody knew that that was going to happen. But the problem that you have now is you have all the residential that was built, and it was front-loaded. And the commercial, well, nobody's building commercial. Commercial is right. not needed. And so now we have the tax hit from all of that residential that was going to come in, or that has come in and is a burden on our school system and traffic and everything else, and you don't have the commercial to offset that cost. And so now the county is really going to start feeling it, especially when you go down Route 1 south of Cosner's Corner. You know, that's building up even more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, before we take a break, back to the VA hospital. The other thing about that, it was a big win for Spotsylvania, and as Spotsylvania hasn't had some of the big wins that other localities lately have had, and this was a good one for this was a great one for Spotsylvania.
No, it definitely was. I think that when we took on the project of the Lidl distribution center, not knowing what it was, but just knowing that it was an international company that wanted to come to Spotsylvania, and would we be willing to step up with incentives and get it here? I think that really put us on the map as mm-hmm. as being serious about having business located in our county. And it's not, and it is a huge win for Spotsy in prestige and being able to have it located here. And it also is great for the region too, because not only will you have the care that our veterans need, you'll also have the jobs that those bring.
Yeah.
And it's located right here. So I think it really puts our region on the map, so to speak, even more. And I think that what we need to do is continue to work together. I know we have some bumps in the roads here and there, but I hope that we will work together, because when projects like this come in, they don't just benefit exclusively one county or right. one locality. It definitely does help the region.
Yeah, this is and this one especially, the right. the veterans who've had to go to Richmond can do it right can do it right here. And boy, that I still every time I go by that Lidl distribution center, that is the biggest building
I have ever seen,
and it's very well. I've never been back there to see it. To see it up close, I'm sure is something, because with all the trees and all, you don't get the view. But boy, it looks just massive.
Oh, it is massive, and I was able to go to the groundbreaking, and it just seems like they had their stuff together. They put it up.
Yeah.
They, you know, it was done in I don't want to say record time, but it was done pretty darn quick.
Yeah.
And our county folks worked along with them to make sure that, you know, they could get it up in their timetable, and they did. And, you know, it's benefited our locality not only with tax revenue, but there's jobs there. And now we have Lidl stores in the county too, which is my shop there. So
yeah.
I enjoy that too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Chris Jakubowski here from the Battlefield District in Spotsylvania. We'll take a break and return on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in this morning as we kind of look back and look ahead. One of the issues that the Board of Supervisors dealt with this year. And as a Spotsylvania resident, I watched with great interest the whole trash decal discussion. Because I don't know that I've ever seen a discussion by a local government where there wasn't evidence to what everyone was talking about. It was like, well, we think, and it seems that people from Stafford, there was nothing concrete, and that was one of the reasons I know you. When this has come up a couple of times in the last year, and in both times, you spoke out against it.
Right, and I voted against it too. Mm-hmm. And you know, it started back during budget time, and just sort of out of the blue, a board member brings it up and says that he spoke with the treasurer, and the treasurer says that it could be done for X number of dollars, so let's go ahead and do it. To me, it always seems, you know, there's national politics and state politics, and, you know, it seems like we have little input and impact on some of that sometimes. But when you have stupid policies at the local level, we can do something about it, especially as local officials and as citizens, too. When you speak out, trust me, we do listen. And when you have a dumb policy like this that comes up, I just sit there and scratch my head and say, why? What is the purpose? Anything that we do is going to, number one, cost taxpayer dollars. It's going to expand how much influence and reach that our local government has into what we're doing. And there needs to be a concrete reason behind why. So I kept asking why. What is the evidence that we have? What is the data that can be provided to show that there is a problem, even if it's a small amount of data, because it's not a comprehensive study, let's say, and none can be provided. And that's not a slam against our county staff or anything. It just, it hasn't been done.
Yeah.
So I've asked, well, can it be done? And there really is no easy way to do it, because years ago we voted, and I voted to remove the county decals, but we still charge our taxpayers to get the decal that you don't get.
Yeah.
But the upside to that was there was a little bit of cost savings. But if you remember back to that, it was a yearly sticker that you had to scrape off your window every single year.
And it was tough.
It was tough. It was annoying. It would get junk all over your dashboard. And so we decided to go ahead and remove it. We weren't the only ones that were doing it. It was happening around the Commonwealth. And so fast forward to COVID, and all of a sudden people are home more, and you know, lo and behold, now we have a whole bunch of people, I guess, cleaning out their houses and realizing that all the junk in their garage doesn't really need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are doing that, and they're using the landfill that they pay tax dollars for, and now we want to take those people that are doing nothing wrong and make them jump through another hoop to fix a problem that nobody can quantify at all. And so to me, it just seemed like a lack of common sense, and really a lack of a plan of all of the other issues that will be coming up because of this. For example, I got some emails and communications from people who said, you know, my mom, who's elderly, who lives in Spotsy, I live in King George. Once a week, I come down with my pickup truck. I take her trash and I take it to the landfill for her. How am I going to be able to do that?
Right.
And again, guy's doing nothing wrong. He's helping out his elderly mom, which is very commendable for him. And I've heard lots of people that do this. And so, yet we're going to make those people try to figure out how to fix a problem that they're really not contributing to. And so, in addition to that, we came up with this idea of to fill out a form to get this sticker.
Yes.
You had to fill out the form and mail it in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, geez, why don't you just fax it in at this point, you know? I mean, it's, come on.
Right.
This is 2020. We should have the technology to fill out the form online. Everything's paid for, done, and even you can print your own sticker at home.
Yeah.
You know, this is – how far behind are we? And so – all of this is just very frustrating because who is going to have to, you know, pay the price, so to speak, are the people who are doing nothing wrong. And the people that are doing something wrong, nothing prevents them, for example, of having, you know, somebody in the county who has a brother that lives in Stafford that has, you know, a business that needs to use the landfill in Spotsy, from getting an extra sticker and just giving it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So have you actually solved the problem? No,
no,
you haven't.
No.
All that you have done is made it more difficult for good, honest people to go about their business. And it really is frustrating that, you know, I was the lone voice against this. But like I said in the beginning, when citizens speak out, and apparently a couple of supervisors heard from more people than they've ever heard from before about this, it really... it changes things. It was brought up again, and it was paused. So now we had two supervisors, along with county staff, that had gotten together, and it's going to be presented to us in January. I've already spoke with county staff about this and basically said exactly what I've said on the air here today about how I'm not for it at all. But if we're going to do it, let's make it the easiest that we can for our folks. And whatever... form that we come up with, whatever avenue we go down, it needs to actually solve the problem. And if it can't do that, why are we even doing it?
So is it going to be easier? Is the implementation going to be a little bit easier? Because that was what just was going to drive me crazy. How
I doubt it. I really do. I mean, I have no hope for that. I would hope that it would be, but I don't think that it would. And if it's not going to be, I'm still going to vote against it because I think it's ridiculous and stupid.
Well, and the other thing was you had a board member who kept talking about the fact that, well, you know, it's more expensive if you know, Stafford's doing this, so it's more expensive in the city in Stafford. I don't live in the city in Stafford. I live in Spotsylvania, and I didn't want to hear that.
Well, exactly. And our tax dollars go to pay for these conveniences. You know, I love how how people talk about Stafford and how wonderful Stafford is and all the great things Stafford has, and geez, why can't we do what Stafford has? Well, implement their tax rate then. You know, we're roughly 20 cents under what they pay. So you want to throw that tax increase on our people? You go right ahead. I'm not going to do it. But you want all these things, but you're not willing to pay for them. And then the things that you want people to pay for are to fix problems that you can't explain. And that to me is, it's not just irresponsible and stupid, like I keep saying, because I can't think of a better word, but it just makes no sense when we have so many other issues that we need to deal with. We're spending all this time and effort on this. And what's going to happen when people don't fill out that form, don't mail it in because they didn't realize that they needed a sticker? They show up to dump their trash. You're going to have our poor gate attendants who never signed up to confront people.
No, that was concern to me too, yeah.
That's not right to put them in that situation. And yet somebody's going to show up and say, hey, I'm a taxpayer. I pay taxes here. I need to use this. They're going to say, you need a sticker. Nobody told me. You know, you can see it happening a million times.
I can.
Let's just avoid that and figure out what the problem is and attack the problem and not just come with this whole one size fits all. And everybody who follows the rules anyway is going to follow the new rules, and the people who break them are going to continue to break them.
I go to the Chancellor Landfill a couple times a week, and I look around, and for the board members who kept saying, you know, we've seen a problem. I don't know. I look around, and people are people. I don't know that you can tell that there's a problem.
Yeah, Stafford people don't look any different than Spotsylvania or Fredericksburg people. Yeah, we're all the same, and so I don't know how. you're supposed to implement something like that. And again, what is the problem? What are we really trying to get at? And I don't see it. I go there quite often, and I don't see any issues. So hopefully common sense will rule, but, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. That's an issue to look forward
I'll
to.
I'll be there at least.
You will be speaking for me. Chris Yakubowski, Battlefield Supervisor in Spotsylvania here this morning. We'll take a break and return on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski is here this morning. He is from the Battlefield District. Localities of all, it's been interesting, Chris, to watch how localities have used the CARES Act money that has come from the federal government to really help. Help in these times in Spotsylvania, and I could be wrong, so you can correct me. But it seems as though Spotsylvania has basically has gotten the money and has used it as far as kind of put it into the budget and paid for things in the budget.
Yeah, for the most part, you know, there's a lot of backfilling that went on, a lot of capital projects that weren't able to be funded in the current year budget that we voted on in April that have been backfilled. We did use some of it to, you know, upgrade our technology and for safety measures dealing with COVID. Some of it, you know, was supposed to go to the schools, and that is a big argument and a big fight every year. But, you know, we spend that type of money on the county side, and there's not even a question that is raised. So it seems that there's a lot of lack of planning of what we want to do and how we want to go forward. You know, for instance, in November, I do believe it was, there was a motion made. And remember, this is outside of budget season. The budget season for county staff usually starts when the last budget stops. But, you know, we hear from county staff in roughly October, I think it is, we start gearing up for the county administrator's recommended budget, which he presents to us in February. And then after that, we work from that budget document to design a budget for the next year for the county. During that time, also, the schools do the same thing with their superintendent. They present their recommended budget that the school board votes on to the county. And at that point is when we work on our budget. Well, for some odd reason, the board decided to pay for, outside of budget season, or at least vote on, pay for is a whole nother issue, a COLA, cost of living increase, and a step increase for all county employees. And at the 6 month, so it's not a full year, it's only 6 months of it. And nothing that I say is an attack on any of our county employees. They do a good job, and they deserve what where the taxpayers are able to pay for the services that they get. So to do it outside of budget season, though, is frustrating, because what that does is it lines up your budget next year with a deficit, meaning that the item that you voted to do now has to take priority over everything else in next year's budget.
Right.
So that means we start off next year's budget with roughly $2.5 million in the hole, because we have already spent that money. And to me, that's not wise. That doesn't make any sense. We did do that last year with the public safety pay increase, which was a 3-penny tax increase. But since board members did not want to honor that, which they had agreed to, and they wanted to cut the existing budget by 3 pennies to fit that pay increase into it, other things get pushed out. You know, it's like having a full cup of water and you push your hand into it, things spill over the side. You can't fit everything into the same budget when it's an increase. So even though we do generate more revenue every year, there are automatic things that come out for our capital improvements, for our savings account to make sure that our AAA bond rating stays where it is. Those good fiscal management items need to come out and off the top.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you put other items in there, those items get stretched to the edges, and that means that any other new increases that you might want to do, for example, like a new road that you need to build, well, all of a sudden there's no money because you've already spent it. That, to me, is just not the right way to do things. I voted against that, too. And, again, not that I'm against a pay increase for anybody, but can we afford it? And if we do, at what cost?
Like you said, this is the pay increase topic is paying for it is going to come back up in the next budget.
Yes, it absolutely has to. And in addition to that, that was 2 months ago. Then the very next month, there was a motion made to now give every county employee a bonus in addition to the pay increase, which, again, I'm not against that. That's fine and dandy. But in the private sector, you can't just say, hey, who wants a bonus? Who wants a pay increase? You know, you have to wait for the revenue to come in, and you have to generate the revenue to pay the bills that you create.
Right.
And it's just, in my opinion, very irresponsible to do it, especially off budget. And in the same time, in the same breath, there's so much criticism because the schools come in and they have their carryover money, which is basically their budgeted money that the county has approved and given to them that they didn't spend. And what they wanted to do with a part of that was give a one-time bonus to all their employees, which... it doesn't increase your baseline budget because it's a bonus. It's a one-time item. It's using one-time money to do that, and it's the best use of that money, I believe. And so they go ahead and do that. On the county side, we spend the money without knowing how we're going to pay for it, and in addition, we want to give a bonus too. I mean, why stop there? I mean, at what point does it just become, you know, kind of comical? Because it just makes no sense to me. And throw that in with the discussion on the decal, throw that in with the discussion on transportation. It is an entire discussion that we constantly have that I seem to be the only vote against. I'm glad to be common sense on the board there, because if not, just imagine what might get passed. So I'm more than happy to do that, but it really does get kind of frustrating, because it seems like our taxpayers are the people that are forgotten, because they're the ones that are going to have to pay for all of this.
Speaking of the schools, whenever the school board comes before the Board of Supervisors, it's painful. Mm-hmm. And we're always told by a board member or two, this isn't political, but it becomes very political.
Oh, it is political. It's always political. I mean, if it was any other department that comes before the board to ask for any type of increase or way to spend money, you would not see this happen. And in fact, no other department ever comes. It's only them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can provide as much information as they can. And I have seen more information out of them than I've ever seen in my 12 years or 13 years doing this job than any other school board, any other superintendent. You ask a question, you get answers. The problem is that for some board members, the answers that they get aren't what they're looking for. So they claim that they weren't getting answers. No, an answer is an answer. You don't like the information,
right?
That's your problem. But they've given you the answer. So, you know, find another way to attack them, but stop saying that they don't give information, because they give more information than I've ever seen, and more information than, frankly, you really need.
Now, I have commented and said on this show, I mean, it seems that at times when the school board goes in front of the board, excluding you, sometimes you feel like that they're being cross-examined.
Oh, they are. I mean, there's an incredible amount of rudeness, interrupting, talking over, talking down to, nastiness. It's oozing out of some board members, and it's just wrong. These are folks that are elected officials, and they're responsible to the same voters that we are. You know, you get elected in the exact same district, and it is up to the voters to make a decision on whether or not that person should be there. It's not up to a board member to, you know, attack some of these school board members simply because they don't like the answers that they're being given. And in fact, some of the answers that they're being given, you know, tell the exact story, and board members still go out there and put these, you know, their own facts that are out there that are just wrong. And so you have this constant friction that goes on. And it's it is quite embarrassing. You know, I've been doing this for quite a while, And I've never seen other elected officials talked to in such a way, talked over. I mean, one of the rudest things that you do is when somebody's talking is to interrupt them, mm-hmm. to talk over them, you know, and it's done in such a way not to forward the conversation because somebody might be dragging it on. It's done in such a way because you don't like them, you think that you know everything, and you're going to tell them what the truth is, and they should just sit there and shut up and listen to you. And that's just wrong, and it shouldn't happen. But unfortunately, it does.
With Dr. Baker, time he comes in, but usually it's two board members that usually dominate the conversation.
Right, and the schools can't get a word in edgewise to answer what is going on, and it's a constant condescending attitude and nastiness that is out there, and it really needs to stop because it's not helpful. It doesn't advance anything. If you want to get at wasteful spending, if you want to get at, you know, finding ways to save money, first of all, you should start it on the county side. You know, the old Bible adage about a mite in your eye or a mite in your brother's eye and a log in your own. I mean, that's more applicable here than anywhere, I do believe. And that's the type of thing that is happening. Just take a look at if wasteful spending bothers you, wasteful spending should bother you no matter where it's being wasted. So if you see it anywhere, whether it's, you know, $100 here or $1 million there, it should be brought out, it should be examined, and it should be fixed. And it doesn't matter if it's the schools doing it or the county doing it. It should be your top priority. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it is.
Dr. Kisner from the Stafford School Superintendent was here a couple months ago, and he brought on the Stafford Schools and the Board of Supervisors have had very contentious relationship over the years, and he mentioned that during these times with the coronavirus, just how supportive the board had been and how important that was to the school system at this time. And my comment was that a county that shall remain nameless, that was not the case, and it is tough in these times, and this if ever there was a time when you should put some of that aside, it'd be right now.
Well, exactly. I mean, the schools came forward and said back in July that they were estimating that they would need an extra $6 million, and my numbers might be a little rusty, I'm doing it from memory, of around $6 million for increased safety measures because of corona. Some board members hold them to that as though that is the gospel, that it never changed. That was an estimate that they did early on and said it's roughly this. Numbers go up a little bit, and there's some sort of, you know, look at the schools as though they've been lying to us. Well, you know, things change.
Yeah.
The standards change. The things that we need to battle it and keep our kids safe change. And I'm sorry, but the priority should be making sure that our students and our teachers and our support staff and our parents that go into schools are kept safe. Period. Now, if you want to argue over how best to do that, that's fine. But why don't we figure out that is the priority, and then we work together for that instead of constantly arguing, constantly talking over each other, constantly trying to, you know, play gotcha with these things, putting up your own, you know, PowerPoint presentation and going through it and droning on and on when the numbers are wrong. And you're not actually trying to fix a problem. You're trying to score political points.
You've been on the board. Chris Jakubowski here from on the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You've been on the board a while. Is the coronavirus the biggest thing that you, the recession was pretty difficult, but is this the biggest thing that you've had to overcome and deal with?
I actually left the board after my first term before the recession.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So you missed that.
I missed that one, yeah. But the impacts from that, because I still, you know, would talk with board members, and then the impacts we're still feeling from the recession. So as far as just out of left field, you know, taking everybody by surprise, you know, just to think back that some things that you did in February and March of last year were just this current calendar year.
Yeah.
It seems like years ago.
It does.
Yes, it's been very challenging, and you know, our folks have really risen to the task. One of the nice things was that our revenues for the county really didn't dip as far as we thought that they might.
Yeah,
which was helpful, obviously. But, you know, it really has changed many things. But, you know, I think that what it does, it presents some problems and some issues. But I think that if we really work together, you confront them head on and we can overcome them. This is if you think back to what our country and our counties have gone through in the past, it's difficult. Yes, of course. And it's difficult because we're in the middle of it. But if you look back at history, you know, we've overcome bigger challenges and bigger things.
Yeah.
And I think we'll come out of this fine. But, you know, it's the level of animosity that sort of percolates out there constantly when we have these combined meetings is not helpful at all. And it needs to stop because, like I said, the first priority should be the safety of our students and our teachers, support staff, and parents.
Yeah, no, you look at it, and you look sometimes at you know, as a county resident, you're just embarrassed.
I've heard from many people about that, and it's nice to hear from people with compliments. It's not very often, but especially people that are on the other side of the political aisle. I'm Republican, conservative. And I'll have some very liberal Democrat friends of mine who'll say, I agree with you too much. And I tell them, hey, it's a good thing. You know, we can find common ground on many, many issues. We don't need to be divided all the time.
There are many times, Chris, I watch you and I just think this makes so much sense.
Thank you.
And yet the vote doesn't go that way. And you do. You look and you just think, what's happening here?
Right. Well, and hopefully we can overcome some of that stuff. And like I said, with the new budget coming up and with some positives that we've had this year, even though we've had some issues that we've had to deal with, I think that we really can leave our county in better shape than we found it. And that's always been my goal, is whenever I'm done with this position, or the voters think I'm done with this position, that the county is actually better off, and I've actually been able to contribute in a positive way.
Chris Jakubowski here. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Shuman.
Chris Jakubowski, the Battlefield District Supervisor in Spotsylvania here. Real quick, Chris, we just got a couple minutes left. The Citizens Budget Review Committee, what do they do?
Well, it was an idea many years ago that I had come up with because we had a lot of talent in the county that had dealt with budgets at the state and federal level and also in the private sector. So it was an idea about bringing these folks together to look at our current budgets and our proposed budgets and find savings. That's the idea behind it. It was disbanded for a while. It came back a few years later, and it's been around for, you know, the past roughly 10 years. We had asked them a few years ago to go through our budget because at the local level, we are mandated by the state and federals with so many different issues that a lot of that money we don't have control over. So the amount of money that we do have control over, that's the stuff that we can actually do anything with. So we asked them a few years ago to take a look at that, and we had not gotten updates. So I asked for them to show up at the next meeting, and they did in December. And I asked them why they didn't do it, and they said, well, that's a lot of work, and we don't know how to do it, even though they did two of the departments.
Yeah.
And those two that were done very well. But we have multiple departments that weren't even taken a look at. We need to understand and mainly for public consumption, our budget, even though it might be $500 million, we don't control $500 million. A lot of this is passed through. The state will give us money to do X, and they mandate that we do X, so we have to do it. We can't stop doing that. And the same with the federal government. So once the public understands that there's a small amount of money that we actually, small amount in comparison to the entire budget, not our budgets, but a smaller amount, then we can really understand how we go about budgeting. So the Citizen Budget Review Committee showed up, made a bunch of allegations that I'm following up on about finding theft in the county. And
yeah, what was that all about?
No idea.
Yeah, that's the first time I'd ever heard of that.
Never heard about it. Heard that another board member went dumpster diving to find old school supplies or something. I'd never heard about that. And what we are supposed to do as a board, and it's in our code of ethics, is we act together as a board. I have no more power than any other single member of the board.
Yeah.
When you have four votes, a majority of the board, that is where the power lies. It doesn't lie in individual board members. So when a board member is out there doing something and working with a committee on their own agenda, that is outside the scope of what we should be doing. It's wrong, and it shouldn't be occurring. But apparently some stuff has been going on because some of it was raised at the meeting, and I'm going to follow up on that. Plus, the chairwoman said that she had presented her own take on what the county budget was and her ideas, and it was shot down. So I'm following up on, well, who did that? Because if you have a budget review committee, all of those ideas need to come to us, because that's why you're there.
Yeah.
Because if we can find ways to save money, if we can find efficiencies and they make sense, well, absolutely, let's do them. But unfortunately, they have provided very little.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski. Chris, thank you for your common sense. And you're one of the only board members, too. There's the sticker of, you know, wag more. Sometimes I think local officials need to smile more, and you do smile, and you have common sense, and thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And Merry Christmas to you and everybody listening, and hope that 2021 is even better than 2020 was.
It's been a tough year. We didn't talk about Spotsylvania's AAA bond rating, but that also was good news for Spotsylvania.
Absolutely. Yep.
Chris Jakubowski with the Battlefield District in Spotsylvania. Thanks, Chris. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
That's it. We will see you in the morning. One last show in 2020. We'll do that in the morning. And News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.